We're looking here this afternoon in Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33, our Lord's attention is turned from that of dealing with the nations. Egypt has been mentioned here recently, and other nations after that. And the attention has been turned to that of the watchman, the precept, the concept of the watchman. The Lord says that he's appointed Ezekiel to be a watchman unto the people, and that he is the Lord's prophet unto his nation. And again, our brother is over there in Babylonia with those that are captive. He speaks here in this chapter about that of the watchman and how the Lord set him to be a watchman. And then that of each one of us, each and every one of us, we're responsible for our sins. And we cannot take obedience of the past and bring that up to today to make a justification for sinning against the Lord today. We are responsible for ourselves. We are responsible before the Lord. And as the children of God, certainly we need the Lord's help, and the Lord's given us empowerment by His Spirit and by prayer to our Lord and petitioning of our Lord, the ability to have sensitivity to His leadership. And when we need to avail ourselves to those things, we don't need to, the contrasts in the scriptures. Do you want to be a Daniel or do you want to be a Lot? Do you want to be an Elijah or a Joshua, or do you want to be a Samson? That's what we have before us. And each and every one of us, as parents, we can't deal with our children's sins. We can't pay for our children's sins. They're not responsible for our sins. They may be impacted by our sins, and we need to know that too. But everyone is responsible for their sins. There's a declaration here of Israel saying to the Lord, "So, well, your way is just not equal. God, your way is not equal." And I think of that. Who are we to reply against God? We're not. We have no capacity. We have no place. We have no position or station to reply against the Creator. We are the created. With as much ability and possibility that the Lord has given mankind, we yet are not in any stand to reply and to fret and wrestle against God. What God says is so. Period. Done. And that's the whole point of the Lord giving His word as He has. Then we come to this point here where we left off last time. And in verse 20, the Lord said, "I will judge you, everyone, after his ways." And you know what? I'm thankful that my ways are covered up by the righteousness of Jesus Christ and won't be like those at the great white throne judgment that will be judged according to their works out of the books. And so we come here now to verse number 21. We're going to kind of back up in time a little bit. There's been a time frame that's been given to us from the time that our Lord has called our brother, the time of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And here in verse number 21, we read this, "And it came to pass in the 12th year of our captivity, in the 10th month, in the 5th day." Now, understand that as we go back to chapter 32, and you hold your place here, chapter 33, come back to chapter 32, we see this. "And it came to pass in the 12th year, in the 12th month, in the first day of the month." Okay, so that's a little bit 12th year, 12th month. Here in chapter 33, it reads 12th year, 10th month. Okay, so then we back up a little farther to the next indication of time, and we see here in chapter 31 at the beginning, "And it came to pass in the 11th year and 3rd month in the first day." So somewhere here after the events of chapter 31 that are described, but before this at the beginning of chapter 32, this in chapter 33 and verse 21 came to pass. And so let's read what the scripture says. "And it came to pass in the 12th year of our captivity, in the 10th month, in the 5th day of the month, that one that had escaped out of Jerusalem came unto me, saying, the city is smitten." And so there's this one that escapes out of Nebuchadnezzar's siege of the city. He goes towards Babylonia, Brother Ezekiel over there by the river Chebar, as we looked at and considered early on in this study. He's over there to the east, and this man has made it all the way over there to him. Now understand that the Lord's working in this, because what the Lord says is going to happen. And this is prophecy from our Lord. He said, the city is smitten. Verse 22. Now the hand of the Lord was upon me in the evening, before he that was escaped came, and had opened my mouth until he came to me in the morning, and my mouth was opened, and I was no more dumb. And so we have a place here where our brother writes, or has written about him, that he was brought to a point that he could speak again. And so there's been a time, evidently, and we understand that he hasn't been able to speak. But now he is brought to the point that he could speak, okay? And this is the fulfilling of some things that the Lord said. And now the hand of the Lord was upon me in the evening before he that escaped came. And so this was before that fellow in verse number 22, or verse 21, arrived there to where Ezekiel was. And had opened my mouth until he came to me in the morning. So evidently, the evening before was when the Lord opened his mouth, and then this man came in the morning, what was described in verse 21. And my mouth was opened, and I was no more dumb. We want to take a look over here just quickly to chase this about this particular subject and just deal with it. We want to have understanding of it. May the Lord help us that we would. In chapter 3 of this book, in chapter 3 of Ezekiel, we come to verse number 25. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse number 25. In this verse, our Lord, having appeared to Ezekiel and having shown him revelation of the throne room of God, the brightness, the glory of God, the Lord sitting on his throne, and the Lord telling him in verse number 24, he had had his second vision and of the Lord. And he says there in the latter part of chapter 3, verse 24, go shut thyself within thine house. So that's what the Lord told him to do. There's an element here with Ezekiel that Ezekiel is the prophet of the Lord, but then there's an element that the Lord is being restrictive how this man is even able to communicate to the people. Because it's a part of the judgment. It's a part of the judgment of the Lord that there is a word and has been a word from the Lord, but then there is no word from the Lord. It's a testimony to how sorry and how bad that Israel has become as a nation, how far that they've gone away from the Lord. Verse 25, but thou, O son of man, behold, they shall put bands on thee, upon thee, and shall bind thee with them, and thou shalt not go out among them. And I will make thy tongue cleave to the roof of thy mouth, that thou shalt be dumb, and shall not be to them a reprover, for they are a rebellious house. But when I speak with thee, I will open thy mouth, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, he that heareth, let him hear, and he that forbeareth, let him forbear, for they are a rebellious house. So there is this, at least, there's something here where Ezekiel is caused and made by the Lord to where he cannot speak at times, or in all in one time, or so from this time he's made to where he cannot speak all the way to the time that we read in chapter 33, or he has times or spells that he cannot speak, but then the Lord loosens his tongue and he is able to speak. Okay, and so there's one of the two is there. Times back and forth where he is brought to where he cannot speak, he's dumb, he cannot utter anything with his mouth. But here in chapter 33, we see that his tongue is loosed and he is able to speak. Okay, let's come over here to chapter 24, and we see this that the Lord says, and this is a prophecy. And remember, you remember that with Brother Ezekiel, the Lord has made it very clear that there's not going to be a time of the prolonging of prophecy. The prophecy is going to be given, and it's going to be immediately fulfilled with him. because that's the testimony and witness to the nation that God is dealing with them, God is speaking to them, and Ezekiel is his man. And that the Lord has sent a word to them, but we have seen with those other nations that the Lord hadn't sent word at all to them. There's no future for those other nations, but there is for the Lord's nation. In chapter 24, we come to verse number 24, and we read this. Thus Ezekiel is unto you a sign, the Lord says, according to all that he hath done shall ye do. And when this cometh, ye shall know what that I am the Lord God. And so you remember how Ezekiel had the tile portrayed on the tile, the city of Jerusalem portrayed, and then how the bulwarks were set against it and those different engines of war that he made. He made models, if you will, of that. And remember how he laid on his side and how long, telling about how long the siege would be. You remember how he took that very little bit of different grains and such and mixed up and portioned out his food every day, and he drank about a liter of water every day because he's telling how bad the siege is going to be. And then other things. Remember with Ezekiel how the shaving of his head and how that hair was used to represent that no one would escape. See, Ezekiel is a sign indeed to the people that what the things that the Lord tells him, many of the things the Lord tells him to do and portray, is a testimony of what they're going to be found doing. Okay? And that there will be no escape. And so all that he hath done shall ye do, and when this cometh, ye shall know that I am the Lord God. He said, when it comes to pass upon you, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and those that are even brought here to the already captive there in at Chebar and in Babylonia, you'll know that I am the Lord. Also, thou son of man, shall it not be in the day when I take from them their strength, the joy of their glory, the desire of their eyes, and that whereupon they set their minds, their sons and their daughters. He says, their children are going to go into captivity, or they're going to be killed. That he that escapeth in that day shall come unto thee to cause thee to hear it with thine ears. Okay? So let's read that again. Also, thou son of man, shall it not be in the day when I take from them their strength, their joy of their glory, their desire of their eyes, and that whereupon they set their minds, their sons and their daughters, that he that escapeth in that day shall come unto thee to cause thee to hear it with thine ears? The Lord says that when it happens, there's going to be somebody that's going to be a witness of it that's going to come and tell you directly, Ezekiel, that it's happened. It's going to be. And it's going to be, you think about this, Jerusalem being destroyed, and the temple being destroyed, and everything that had established and had Israel as a nation will be taken away. See, already their leadership has been compromised because the last king has been appointed by Nebuchadnezzar, and the reason Nebuchadnezzar is going over there is because he's become rebellious. And so the Lord tells here, there's going to be one that's going to escape and is going to tell you what has happened. Verse 27, in that day shall thy mouth be open to him which escaped, and thou shalt speak and be no more dumb, and thou shalt be a sign unto them, and they shall know that I am the Lord. And so the Lord tells the way that it's going to be. So, you know, the question that I have was Ezekiel dumb to where he couldn't speak from chapter 3 to chapter 33? If it would be, we would ask the question, then how could he minister to the people other than with the things that he did or that which he portrayed? Well, we talked and mentioned last time that we looked at this as it is with the Lord, there's always the written word. So we have the Word of God. And these things about Ezekiel were either written by him or written by one that was very near him to know the things that had happened. Again, the Word of God has been provided to us by the Lord, inspired by the Lord. Everything written down that you and I need to know, even the account of this brother, and it could have been as it was written, it was read and given to the people. There's a couple verses, though, that we want to consider in this. And in chapter 11, verse number 25, in the midst of this time or these questions, this that we see about him being dumb, was he dumb and couldn't speak for all these years? Or was it something that the Lord would bring upon him to where he couldn't speak and then would relieve him of that and he would be able to speak? Or he only had limited times that he could speak the testimony of the Lord unto the people. Understand that our brother has been a minister, a prophet of the Lord for what? Some 7 years. Okay? Some 7 years he has been the prophet of the Lord. In chapter 11, again, we read here in verse number 25 this. The Lord speaking to him, and he tells about what he's going to do. And then a hallmark passage here in verse number 19. He will give them one heart, put a new spirit within you, take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. We refer to that often. That's the way the Lord saves, isn't he? That's what he does. And in this latest thing that the Lord's given, we read here in verse 25 of this chapter, "Then I spake unto them of the captivity," who he was among, "all the things that the Lord had showed me." So here he tells that he spake. It doesn't say that it was written down and then he gave that to them, although I guess it could be written or said that way, that he spake to them in that way. Or maybe this condition of being dumb, at times our brother was relieved of that. Remember, the behavior of our brother or the evil desire of the people that he's there amongst, they actually had a time that they tied him up. Put bands on him. I don't know, they thought maybe he was insane somehow. Or they just hated him so. They didn't kill him because he's the man of the Lord. He's the Lord's man. In chapter 24, let's read over here. And I'm not wanting to create more questions than we have answers for, but it's just something that the Lord has said, because this is a real event in chapter 33, and we need to deal with these things. So we see here, and again, the Lord in the ninth year in the 10th month, and so that's some 4 years or so, 4.5 years into Ezekiel's ministry and calling. It says here in chapter 24, verse number 18, the Lord having dealt with him and told them about how they're diseased and their rust, their scum, that's the word that is used, how everything that they do is just wickedness before the Lord. Verse 18, he says, "So I spake unto the people in the morning, and at even my wife died, and I did in the morning as I was commanded." And of course, you remember that Brother Ezekiel was commanded not to mourn, not to cry, not to show any grief. And the reason was is because that's the way the people would be. They would be so stupefied, so calloused, so yet indignant to the chastisement of the Lord that they would be found themselves not even mourning or weeping over their own children. This cold, cold, indifferent hearts. And so that testimony was there unto them. And here another occasion that it says that he spake unto the people. So how was it with our brother? Was he made to be dumb for this period of years and it only had times that the Lord relieved him of that he was able to speak? And so then when he would speak, that would be a point of hopefully getting their attention greater? Or was it so that the speaking that was done from the written word? Well, we don't know exactly yet from anything that we see in the scriptures, but other than we know he was dumb, and when he spake, he did speak. And then there is this, where prophecy has been fulfilled from chapter 24, where this man that had escaped came and told Brother Ezekiel just like the Lord said that he would. Then we come to verse number 23 of chapter 33. "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying," he was no more dumb, "Son of man," and there it is again, that reference to our brother, "they that inhabit those waste places of the land of Israel speak, saying, Abraham was one, and he inherited the land, but we many, the land is given us for an inheritance. There are those that yet deny the chastening of the Lord and his chastising hand upon the nation. And they said, If Abraham, being faithful, inherited the land, well, there's so many of us, there's no problem. This land is ours. Let's see what's said. Wherefore say unto them, verse 25, thus saith the Lord God, ye eat with the blood, and lift up your eyes toward your idols, and shed blood, and shall ye possess the land? See, brother Abraham, as they refer to, oh yeah, he was one, but you know what? He had faith in God and what God said. The people of this land, oh, they're many more than Abraham was, but you know what? They're not obedient. And the Lord says, in your shape, with your pursuits, you'll possess the land. You'll possess my land. Ye shall stand on your sword. Ye work abomination, and ye defile every one his neighbor's wife. And shall ye possess the land? I wonder what this means about stand upon your sword. You know, we've got a phrase, you've heard it in your lifetime, you cut off your nose to spite your face. You know, there's some that are that way, and the rebellious and the disobedient are often that way. They will suffer themselves to be hurt or chastised or have damage just for holding to a false, untrue, or sinful position and opinion. Stubbornness. Is that what it's talking about? You stand upon your sword, you work abomination, and you defile every one his neighbor's wife. And shall ye possess the land? Say thus unto them, thus saith the Lord God, as I live, surely they that are in the wastes shall fall by the sword. And him that is in the open field will I give to the beast to be devoured. You mean God can control the wild beast to come over there to get one fella that, or two fellas, a small troop that's stealthily working their ways through the valleys and the draws to get around the enemy and to escape to a different place? You mean God can take those beasts? Mm-hmm. He sure can, because all is his. And if the Lord says there'll be no escaping, there will be no escaping. You remember how it was when our brother was told to shave his head and take the hair and divide it out in a balance, and some of it was tromped and some of it was burned, and then he was told to take two of those hairs and put it in here in his garment, and then those two hairs were taken and also dropped in the fire. What that was significant of, is I believe, is that there's no escape. You don't escape the Lord. There are those who believe that they'll escape the judgment of the Lord, that they mock and they make fun of hell and the lake of fire and eternity without Christ and the judgment and wrath of God. They make a mock at it. They make fun of it. There's no escaping God. There is no escaping God. He says, those that go by the waste will fall by the sword. Him that is in open the field will I give to the beast to be devoured. And they that be in the forts and in the cave shall die of the pestilence. Because this is the judgment of God upon his nation. For I will lay the land most desolate, and the pomp of her strength shall cease, and the mountains of Israel shall be desolate, and none shall pass through. Then shall they know that I am the Lord. So many times we've heard this. Then shall they know that I am the Lord when I have laid the land most desolate because of all their abominations which they have committed. You know, I wonder about in the last days, very near the last day when the Lord Jesus Christ, or the last day of this age, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes and the hosts of the world, and Satan and the Antichrist leading them, and they're gathered to destroy Jerusalem. I wonder, how will it be with the Jews that are in that city in that day? Will they go back to the Scriptures, and will they go back to review all those things? Will there be some amongst them? I mean, you know, the 144 witnesses will be there, and we understand that they'll be martyred for the sake of the Lord. I believe that that's correct, but will they be there reviewing back in the Scriptures and seeing how they sinned against God and the Lord? Will the Lord bring conviction because of what's in the Scriptures about the rebellion of the fathers and all that, to where they see that they are being brought to the end, and then Jesus comes? They'll look on him whom they pierced. They will look and they will say, we did miss him. Our fathers did miss him. We did deny him, and he did come as Savior the first time. and he's come now to rescue us. Because, see, for sinners to be saved, there must be repentance. I wonder about that. I mean, could it be that the Lord would even use these things to be a witness unto them? They shall know that I am the Lord. You know, did those people in that day know it? Well, some did. Others may have not. But the Lord gave these things to show that it was He that it was working in them. But they shall know that I am the Lord when I have laid the land most desolate because of all their abominations which they have committed. Verse 30, a different thing. He's dealing with Ezekiel here personally and how it is with his man versus those that he sent to minister unto. Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses. They don't like you, Ezekiel. They don't like your message from me. They don't like the way you do. They don't like anything about you. They talk against you and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. I've entitled this part of this passage, The Lovely Song and Pleasant Voice of the Watchman. The Lord has set Brother Ezekiel to be a watchman, but you know what? As he cries, as his tongue is loosed, and that which has been written has maybe been read or heard by the people, they don't hear it. They don't believe it. They don't see that it's true. They're talking against him, but yet they say, let's go see what he's got to say. Let's go hear what he's got to say. Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. I think that maybe that what it is, also thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. You know, maybe they are brought to the point to where they believe and know what Ezekiel says is from the Lord, but they just don't want it. Or maybe their position is a mockery. Let's go down there and see what the prophet's got to say today. There they are in captivity. They've lost their freedom. They've lost their nation, because our brother is there amongst the captivity over in Babylonia. And he said, they're talking against you. But they say, let's go down there and see what that nut's got to say today. You know, if a man is called by the Lord to hold forth the word of the Lord, we do well to hear it. Because if it is of the Lord, it's His word to us. And, you know, as your pastor, you don't need to believe a word that I've got to say. But what the Lord has to say, we all do well to hear it and to heed it. Listen to what He says here, what it says. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. They've got the correct outward religious expression. They've got the correct outward religious attendance. They've got the outward my pastor used to say, they've got the right outward intelligent look on their face at the time of the preaching of God's Word. But the Lord says their heart is a long, long way away. And how is it with us? You know, I tell you what, if you're human like me, you come and go. It's just the way it is. We're distracted. We get chafed by things. We get bothered and troubled by things. We get aggravated by different things. And then the Lord speaks to us and we yield to Him and we're helped and we're brought back to a right place, I trust. But these people here, they say, He says, they show up, they come. But it's kind of like when they go home, they have grilled Ezekiel for supper and for dinner and for breakfast. And all Brother Ezekiel's doing is giving forth the word of the Lord. It's the Lord that they're really rejecting. And understand this, that our Lord does know what's going on in the heart. Let us know that our Lord has always known what goes on in the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls. He hears what we say in private. He hears what we say over there in the doorway. He hears what we say over there by the wall as we whisper or we are thinking our heart or send emails or texts or what. He knows all of that. He knows whether we're coming or looking to seem like we're obeying for show or for His sake. And may we just know that and be reminded of that. They come unto thee, verse 31, as the people cometh. They sit before thee as my people, but they're not. And they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after what they want. Covetousness, what they want. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not. May the Lord help us that not be the case with us. Brother James writes, let us be doers of the word and not hearers only. Amen? I wonder if that's not, wasn't his, from the human standpoint, a motivation for the Lord giving him and him writing that passage. And when this cometh to pass, verse 33, listen, the Lord says, lo, it will come. Then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. Yes, he speaks. So this kind of gives itself that Ezekiel is going to be able to speak more than he ever has in the past, possibly. I don't know. How is it? How is this with our brother? Is it been that he's been a mute for all these years and then the Lord has loosed his tongue, or there was only a few times in between there and then he would go back to that? The elders, you remember the elders coming to inquire of him and the Lord says, will they inquire of me? Will they inquire of me with their wicked hearts and their wicked ways? You remember how it was that the brother had the vision of one of the leaders that was there, one of the elders of Jerusalem that just fell down dead right there in his midst? How is it? The lovely song and pleasant voice of the watchman. May we hear and heed the watchman of our Lord. Our Lord's going to move on, and He's going to deal with shepherds. He's spoken about the watchman, and He's dealt with Ezekiel in this way. And He's going to talk and speak against, prophesy against the shepherds through our brother, and about their care or lack of care of the sheep. That's going to be for a chapter. And then He's going to come and prophesy against Mount Seir. Mount Seir, that's interesting. And so, Lord willing, we'll go on to these things at the next time.